This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So we were studying the ayahs about the Bani Israel, the incident of the cow, in which the Bani Israel were commanded to slaughter a cow, and instead of obeying the command right away, they came up with a lot of questions, one after the other. Why? Because they did not want to follow that command. They did not want to slaughter the cow. And this is what a person does when he does not wish to do something. But questioning, excessive questioning, only made the situation more difficult for them, more complicated for them. And then eventually, they did slaughter the cow. And when they finally slaughtered the cow, what were they supposed to do with the cow? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah number 72, وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا. And when you killed a person, meaning, and also remember, O Bani Israel, when you had killed a person. The word قَتَلْتُمْ is from قَاف تَ لَمْ, قَتْل. And قَتْل is to murder someone, to kill them. So when you killed a person, meaning when the Bani Israel killed a person from among them, who was the killer? That was unknown. So as a result, what happened? فَدَّارَتُمْ فِيهَا. Then you all blamed each other concerning it. The word إِدَّارَتُمْ is from دَال رَا هَمْزَة. دَال رَا هَمْزَة. Do you see these three letters in the word? دَرَأَ actually means to avert something, to push something away. For example, something is coming towards you. دَرْ is to push it away, to avert it, to throw something away, to move something away. This is the literal meaning of the word dar. And you see the alif in the word daratum, fadaratum. Between the dal and the ra, there is an alif. And this alif, it gives the meaning of an action that is being done by more than one person. So it shows the participation of more than one in an action. So over here, id daratum means that you were averting or you were pushing to one another. This is the literal meaning of the word. You were pushing something to each other. So just imagine, there are two teams, okay? And let's say they're playing volleyball or something like that. So what happens then? Each team, they throw the ball towards the other team, which throws the ball back to the previous team. And then this continues. So this is the meaning of the word iddaratum. When this word is used in the context of argument, then it is to throw blame on each other. It is to accuse each other of a crime that has been committed. So what does it mean by iddaratum then? That you all were blaming each other. You were hurling the blame on each other. One person would say, you did it. He would say, no, I didn't do it, you did it. And this was continuing on and on. This was going on and on. Because sometimes when people cannot figure out who's the person who did that action, what happens? They begin to blame each other. For example, if you know somebody broke a glass at home, or somebody moved something, and you assume that a person did it, and you say, why did you do it? He said, I didn't do it, she must have done it. And she says, I didn't do it, you did it. Until eventually, the culprit, the criminal, he is exposed as to who is the person who actually did that action. So similarly, the Bani Israel, they began blaming each other for having killed a particular person. And the murderer, he was not coming up. He was not coming up, and he was not confessing, or he was not acknowledging his crime. And many times people do this. Many times people do this. That they have done something wrong, and because they're not admitting it, there's such a big chaos going on. And they're scared of admitting their fault. So this is exactly what happened over there. So فَدَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا. You all were blaming each other concerning it. Each person was defending himself, and he was blaming the other. But what happened? Allah says, وَاللَّهُ and Allah مُخْرِجٌ, one who brings out. مُخْرِج is from خَرَجِم, خَرَجَ. What does خَرَجَ mean? To come out. مُخْرِج is one who brings out. So Allah brings out what ما كنتم تكتمون, that which you were hiding, that which you were concealing. The word تكتمون is from كتمة, كتمين, and كتمة means to hide something, to conceal something deliberately. You know, sometimes a person is looking for something and you're not hiding it deliberately. You just didn't realize that that person was looking for it. But the other is that you know that that particular person is looking for his keys, and you know where the keys are. You hit them, but you don't reveal them. You don't show them. So this is what? Katama. To hide something deliberately. So Allah says that وَاللَّهُ مُخْرِجُ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. Allah was going to bring out what you were concealing. Meaning Allah was going to make manifest who the killer was, who the murderer was, who the murderer was. Allah was going to expose him. So what happened then? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded to the Bani Israel that they should slaughter a cow. Once they slaughtered the cow, فَقُلْنَا, so we said. Who said? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered, اِضْرِبُوهُ, you all strike him. اِضْرِبُوهُ, strike him. اِضْرِبُوا is from ضَرْبَ, ضَرْب, we have done this word several times before now. It means literally to strike. اِضْرِبُوا is a command. All of you, meaning O Bani Israel, you strike him. Who does him refer to? The person who was killed. The slain person. The slain man. Hit him with what? بِبَعْضِهَا, with some of it, with part of it. بَعْض is from بَعْعِنْ ضَاد. We have done this word before as well. And it means some of, part of. So hit the dead man with a part of the cow. Which part of the cow? We don't know. And we don't need to know. This is something that doesn't concern us. Right? Remember, when it comes to asking questions, it should be only those questions which are relevant and which are of use, which are of benefit to us. So, اضربوه ببعضها, strike the slain man with part of the cow, whichever part it was, it doesn't concern us. But they did it. And as a result, what happened? It is said that the dead man, he came back alive and he spoke out the name of the person who had killed him and he became dead again. So through this, what happened? The Bani Israel were shown another miracle. Through this incident, the Bani Israel were shown another miracle. You see, the Bani Israel, they were very special people. They weren't just told, believe in this. They were told, believe in this, and they were shown miracles as well. The entire sea was parted for them. That was a huge miracle. Similarly, when the Torah was sent to them, it wasn't just that Musa alayhi salam said that the Torah has been revealed to me and such are the words of the Torah. No, he brought the tablets, the physical form of the book. He brought that to them. Similarly, when they were told to believe in the unseen, when they were told to believe in the hereafter, in the resurrection, they weren't just told believe, but instead a dead man was brought back to life at the command of Allah. And when a person sees something like that, obviously his belief should increase. He should develop belief in the hereafter. So through this incident, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed to them that he is also capable of bringing the dead back to life. Because the Bani Israel at this point had also become very weak in their belief in the hereafter. So this incident served many purposes. Taking out the love of the cow from their hearts, similarly showing to them that you cannot hide anything from Allah. The murderer who wasn't coming up and speaking, he wasn't confessing his mistake, Allah showed to the entire people that he is the person who killed that man. He is the murderer. And similarly through this incident, Allah also showed to the Bani Israel that he is capable of bringing the dead back to life. Which is why Allah says, كَذَلِكَ, like that. Meaning in the same way, just as this dead man was brought to life, similarly, يُحْيِ اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَى. Allah brings the dead to life. يُحْيِ is from حَيَا, from the word حَيَات. حَيَات means life. يُحْيِ, he will give life, or he gives life. Who gives life? Allahu Allah. To who? الْمَوْتَى, to the dead ones. Mauta is the plural of the word mayyit. It is the plural of the word mayyit. Mayyit. And mayyit is one who is dead, deceased. So كَذَلِكَ يُحْيِي اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَى. Similarly, Allah will bring the dead to life. When will He bring the dead to life? On the Day of Judgment, at the resurrection. And right now, وَيُرِيكُمْ, and He shows you. Yuri is from the root letters Ra Hamza Ya. Ra Hamza Ya. Yuri, He will show, He shows. Yurikum, He shows you. What does He show you? Ayati, His signs. Which signs are these that Allah is showing the Bani Israel? What type of ayat are these? What's the term for these type of ayat? Kauni. Remember the two types of ayat? Kauni and Shari. Shari are verses, text. And Kauni is through what happens in the universe. So for example, a dead person is brought to life. This is ayat Kauni. And these signs, what do they prove? They prove the power of Allah, the ability of Allah. وَيُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِي, and He shows you His signs. Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, so that you can understand, so that you can use your reason, so that you can realize. تَعْقِلُونَ is from عَقَلَ, عَيْن قَافْلًا. We have done this word earlier as well. عَقَلَ literally means to connect things together. What does it mean? To connect things together. And then it's used for understanding, for using one's mind. So He shows you His signs so that you can understand. What can you understand? That Allah will bring you back to life as well. He brought this dead man back to life, and He will bring all of you, when you have died, back to life as well. The one who is capable of bringing one soul back to life is capable of bringing all of you to life as well. Similarly, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, so that you understand. What else do we understand from this miracle that was shown to the Bani Israel? What else do we understand? One is that Allah will bring the dead to life. Clear. What else do we understand? Yes. Exactly. That the truth will be exposed no matter how much a person tries to hide it. No matter how much a person tries to conceal it. The murderer was not coming out. The dead person was brought back to life, and he spoke out the name of the person who killed him. And his crime was exposed in front of everybody. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, so that you understand. So, from these verses that we have read, the verses about the cow, the story of the cow, and the two concluding verses which are relevant to the incident as to why they were told to slaughter the cow, what do we learn from these verses? Now that you know the story, extract lessons. Think. What's the first main lesson that we learn? Verse number 67. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ, when Musa alayhi salam said to his people, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرَةً, that we must obey the commands of Allah right away, without objecting, without questioning, without complicating the issue for ourselves. Just accept. Remember, one of the first things that we learned in the Quran was ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, this is a book in which there is no doubt at all. So if Allah is telling us something, there is no doubt that it is indeed that which is best for us. And it's possible that we read something and it doesn't make sense to us. We don't understand right away. Why? It doesn't make sense. But do it, and then you will see the benefits. Just as the Bani Israel at that time, slaughtering the cow wouldn't really make sense to them, but eventually they learned the benefits. So similarly, because we are human beings, we have limited intellect, we have limited foresight, we must obey the command of Allah right away, and there is benefit in it for us. Also we learn from this that, in particular because this is the context of the Bani Israel at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they were being reminded of what happened in their history. So they are being reminded of a time when their forefathers did not accept the truth as it was. They did not accept the truth as it was. And instead, they demanded too many details and too many explanations. And as a result, what happened? The matter became more and more complicated for them. Isn't it? Because they demanded too many details, the matter became complicated for them. Now, the Bani Israel of the time of the Prophet ﷺ, what were they doing? The truthfulness of the Prophet ﷺ was very clear. It was very clear to them that he indeed was a messenger. But instead of believing in him, what would they do? They would come up to him and would ask him random questions, one after the other. Why? To know if he was really a messenger. And each time, his answer would satisfy them. But still, they wouldn't believe, and instead they would come up with more and more questions. For example, they would come and ask him, how did the Bani Israel end up in Egypt? Surah Yusuf was revealed. Similarly, they would ask, what is the ruh, the soul, what is it? Similarly, they would ask about the people of the Kahf, people of the cave. Surah Al-Kahf was revealed. They would ask about the food of the people of Jannah. They would ask about how come a child resembles his father and not the mother. You know, questions which sometimes weren't even that relevant to the deen, they would come and ask him those questions. So they are being reprimanded over here. Stop asking too many questions. The truth is clear. Just accept it. Prophet ﷺ is clearly a messenger. You see his signs. Just accept him. Don't complicate the situation for yourself, just like your forefathers did. Because at the end, when he asks too many questions and he complicates the situation, it is he who suffers. Other people don't suffer. If they were to slaughter any cow, it would be so simple. But they went on asking what kind of a cow, which color, which type. And at the end, they were told to slaughter only a specific kind of a cow. And if they were to slaughter any other cow, that would be disobedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands, the commands that He gives us, they are for our own benefit. They asked for a solution, and then, as a response to that, as an answer to their question, they were told to slaughter the cow. So similarly, the commands that Allah gives, they are for our own benefit. Another lesson that we learn is that we should not take the commands of Allah lightly. We should not take the commands of Allah lightly. The Bani Israel were told, Allah has ordered you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ What did they say? Are you joking? Why on earth would a messenger joke about the commands of Allah? Why? When we learn of a command, give it importance. Take it seriously. Similarly, we learn from these verses that making fun of people, mocking at them, is what? Is a part of ignorance, not smartness, not intelligence. We see that sarcastic people, people who make fun of others, they're considered to be very smart, very intelligent. But they're not actually intelligent. They're not smart. It's a part of ignorance. You see, joking is different. Having fun by jokes that are light, by jokes that are true, that is different. But having fun by laughing at others, by mocking at others, that is something that is wrong. Similarly, we learn from these verses, the Bani Israel said, if Allah wills, we will be guided. Right? So in other words, what were they doing? They were saying that we are not guided to the right cow because Allah does not will for us. So we should take accountability, or we should take responsibility of our own actions. We shouldn't blame others for doing something or for not doing something. If we're unable to do something, we have a list of excuses. I cannot do such and such because, you know, my brother does this, or my sister does that, or my mother doesn't allow me, or this and that. I can't do this because of such and such reason. But at the end of the day, who is responsible for his actions? We ourselves are. So take responsibility of your own actions. Another lesson that we learn from these verses is that all mankind is in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all mankind is in need of Allah's protection. With regards to matters that are very small, as well as matters that are very big. Musa alayhi salam is taking Allah's refuge from what? Is seeking Allah's refuge from what? From being of those who are ignorant. Have you ever done anything like that? Hardly ever. He is seeking the protection of Allah from being of those who are ignorant. If we have a bad quality or a habit that we want to get rid of, and we're trying, what should we do? Seek Allah's protection. Ask Allah to help you. Similarly, we learn from these verses that a person should not delay in doing a good deed. A person should not delay in doing a good deed. When we ask too many questions, what are we doing? We're deferring, we are delaying doing the good deed, doing what we're supposed to do. Allah tells us in the Quran, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ. Run to forgiveness. وَسَابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ. Those who are in the front, the forerunners, they're the ones who make it to the front. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Run to Allah. So when it comes to doing a good deed, don't delay it. Because we never know when our time is going to end. Similarly, we learn from these verses that asking too many irrelevant questions is something that is disliked. Notice, asking irrelevant questions is something that is disliked. Asking relevant questions is very important. Asking relevant questions is very important, but asking irrelevant questions is not liked. Now, how do you differentiate between relevant questions and irrelevant questions? Relevant questions are those which have to do with the amal, which have to do with the action. For example, a person wants to know how he can increase khushu' in his salah. Should he ask that question? Of course. Why? Because it has to do with his salah. It has to do with amal. But if a person wants to know which part of the cow did the Bani Israel strike the dead man with, why do you want to eat of that part? I mean, how is it relevant to your actions? Is it going to increase in your faith? No. Is it going to help you bring a dead person to life? No. It doesn't have anything to do with the amal. Similarly, people ask, what was the size of the ship of Nuh alayhi salam? Is that relevant? It's not. The burraq, the creature on which the Prophet ﷺ went on the night journey, is it halal or haram? Have you seen one? So, relevant questions are those which have to do with the amal. Once the instruction is clear, take it as it is. Don't ask too many questions. For example, once a person, he came up to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, O Messenger of Allah, where is my father? His father had died. And he came and asked the Prophet ﷺ, where is my father? And he replied, in the hellfire, because he had died as a mushrik. Then when the man turned away, the Prophet ﷺ called out to him and he said, my father and yours are both in hellfire. Why? Because both died as a mushrik. Now if we ask such questions, what happens? It only saddens us, doesn't it? So this is why the believers were told, Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah number 101, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَشْيَاءٍ إِن تُبْدَ لَكُمْ تَسُؤْكُمْ. O you who have believed, do not ask about things which, if they are shown to you, if they are exposed to you, they will distress you. They will make the situation more difficult for you. They will make following the religion more and more difficult for you. You see, deen is simple. Deen is simple. We are clearly told what we're supposed to do, what we're not supposed to do. But when we ask, do I have to do it every day? Do I have to do it every year? Then what are we doing? We're making the situation difficult. For example, when the Muslims found out about Hajj being mandatory, some were wondering if it was mandatory every year. They were wondering if it was mandatory every year to perform. And sometimes when such questions would be asked, especially at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, if the response was in the affirmative, meaning yes, it is mandatory every year, how many people would be able to follow this command? Hardly anybody. There is a hadith which comes in al-Bukhari, in which we learn that min husn al-Islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi. From the beauty of a person's Islam, the beauty of a person's Islam is that he leaves what is not related to him, what does not concern him. And what concerns you is that which is related to your actions, is that which is related to your amal. You cannot do that action without knowing that information. Could they still have slaughtered the cow without knowing the color, the size, the occupation of the cow? Of course they could have. Was it really necessary to know all those details? No, it wasn't. So Irrelevant is that which is not important, that which does not relate to the actions of a person. And relevant is that which is so important that you cannot do the action without knowing what you're asking about. There's another hadith in which we learn that the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has disliked for you three things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has disliked for you three things. And what are those three things? Qeel wa qal. What does qeel wa qal mean? It was said and he said. He said, she said, they said, you said. Talking about what people speak about. So talking about other people's conversations. Allah dislikes that. One more thing that Allah dislikes is wasting wealth, wasting money, wasting wealth. This is also what Allah dislikes for us. And another thing that Allah dislikes for us is asking too many questions, asking irrelevant questions. So we learn from this story that asking irrelevant questions is disliked in our deen. Also we learn from this story, from this incident, that if a person does something secretly behind closed doors, or he does something in the absence of others, thinking that he will not be found, he should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of his actions. Allah knows what he is doing. Many times we do something that is right out of fear of people, and we don't do that which is wrong out of fear of people. Or we do that which is wrong behind people. Why? Because we don't fear Allah, we fear people. We learn from the story that if we only fear people, we should realize that there is somebody up there who's watching us, who knows what we're doing. And every single deed that we're doing is being recorded. If you go somewhere and you see surveillance cameras, what happens? All of a sudden you become conscious. So when we see surveillance cameras, what happens? We become very conscious, very careful. Do we forget that there are angels of Allah who are watching everything that we're doing, who are recording everything that we're doing? And on the Day of Judgment, everything is going to be exposed. And when it's going to be exposed over there, we're going to be utterly humiliated. Just imagine how humiliated that person would have been. How humiliated that person would have been. All that time, he was hiding his sin. He wasn't coming up. And the people were going through such a chaos, such a problem. And eventually when people would have figured out, how humiliated that person would have been, how embarrassed. Similarly, on the Day of Judgment, all those things that we're hiding today, they will be exposed. Allah says in the Quran in Surah Al-Haqqa, ayah number 18, لَا تَخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِيَةً. Not hidden among you is anything concealed. Meaning on the Day of Judgment, nothing will remain concealed. Every single deed is going to be exposed. Also we learn from these verses that Allah is capable of bringing the dead back to life. And when He is capable of doing that, when He knows all of our actions, what should we do? We should fear Him. We should be conscious of Him. And also we learn from this that we are here in this dunya only temporarily. So we should remain focused. We should remain focused on what we're supposed to do, because this life is only temporary. Anything else that you learned? Many times we ask too many questions because we don't want to do that action. And also we ask too many questions because we want to delay in what we're doing. And we learn that we should not delay in doing good, because the angel of death is not going to delay when he comes to take our soul. He's not going to wait. So we should, whenever we learn of something, it has to be done, just do it. Why delay? Yeah, similarly with the story of Adam a.s., people ask, which tree was it? Was it an apple tree? It doesn't matter to you. When you meet Adam a.s., you can ask him then. We learn a lot from Musa a.s. over here. His patience with his people. His patience with his people. What a big heart he had. Just imagine if somebody doesn't listen to you, what do you say to them? And they ask too many questions, what do you say eventually? Fine, don't do it, I'll do it myself. That's what we do. Musa alayhi salam, every time he went back, made dua to Allah, oh Allah, what about this? How embarrassing it would have been for him as well. How much he suffered because of his people, but how patient he was in dealing with his people. And every time he brought the answer to them. And every time he encouraged them to do it. فَفْعَلُوا مَا تُؤْمَرُونَ. Do what you have been commanded. He encouraged them to do it. Sometimes we need clarification. For example, when they were told to slaughter the cow, they said, are you making fun of us? And that is understood as, what kind of response are you giving? So if you do want to ask about, is this really the answer to my question, you can ask in that way. But don't ask other unrelated questions just to delay, just to postpone doing what you have to do. Let's listen to the recitation of the last two verses.
وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَادَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا وَاللَّهُ مُخْرِجٌ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ فَقُلْنَا اضْرِبُوهُ بِبَعْضِهَا كَذَلِكَ يُحْيِي اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَى وَيُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته